Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week I got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Macy Gray.
Yes.
Mandy Kennedy.
Oh, hi.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. We got a full cast for the first time in a while, I think.
Yeah.
Because we haven't even been able to get Lindsay on in a while.
It'll be a while for me again, but hey, I try.
But she's here for now.
Yeah.
We'll take it for now. It's fine.
It's like a special guest almost, but like.
Right? Yeah.
But old shoe, like.
Some special guest starring classic Podzilla 1985 member.
This is the Raw reunion show. Like, this is our Stone Cold Steve Austin.
No one, dude, this is Nerd Up.
There's, all right.
Like, 40% of our audience got that bit.
Yes, and they're all happy that I called her Stone Cold, so.
All right, anyway, onto the stuff that these people will actually get. The King's Man got a trailer. Mandy posted this to the group chat.
Sorry, it happens rarely. So I want to take credit.
She posted the trailer to the group chat. Yeah, The King's Man got a trailer. So we finally have a little bit more information about what we're looking at for this Kingsman prequel. It's not another movie. I saw several of the comments. A lot of people were real confused, thinking like that The King's Man was a just a completely different movie, that name, and then it got to the tailor shop, and they're like, oh.
Yeah, I liked how they did that. It was Kingsman, but then they separated it. It looked really cool.
Yeah, it was a neat little visual effect.
Oh, that's neat.
So yeah, we didn't get a whole lot, just very much seems like the origins of the Kingsman Secret Service.
Yeah.
Not, I guess, the true origin of the Kingsman as it exists, but certainly for, you know, in what it is in the Kingsman films. Yes. So, yeah. Yeah, we did. Like I said, we didn't get as much as I would have wanted. We got some real neat-looking fight scenes. The teaser trailer was really well done.
Yeah.
The music was really cool, like timed with explosions.
Well,
what time?
Like, what's our release date?
November 2020.
Well, the good news... Oh, I was about to be a sarcastic turd, and then I read 2020 got said, so now I'll take back anything I was about to say. Yeah. I was going to be like, well, the good thing on that day, they're going to give you a whole lot of the movie, but it's like a year and a half away, so never mind.
Yeah, because it's
I'm sure they will release like 4 more trailers that explain the entire plot of the film.
Yeah, I hate like...
Every trailer now?
Not every trailer. I hate whenever it's a movie that's like... coming out in a year and more than a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just don't give me anything then. Just, like, let me wait for that. Yeah. Like, the new Lion King trailer. That was perfect. No. It was 30 seconds.
Wait. Never mind. Continue.
It was 30 seconds. It gave us, like, a clip of the song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, that's now ruined for me because I've listened to that album, like, 3 times through since...
That came up on my Spotify today, actually.
That's your own fault, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I say ruined. I mean, I got to experience the almost better version of these songs.
Mm-hmm.
But that trailer, what was just like, because I remember being like, did you guys just listen to the song? And it was just cool to have it like 30 seconds, really didn't get much. But that was also after we got like a full Lion King trailer.
Which I still haven't, like I haven't looked anything into it. Other than like the little teaser that they get, are still putting before like movies mm-hmm. is the only thing I've seen of Lion King.
Okay. And I didn't think that sounded right that it was that far away. It was originally supposed to be November 8th, 2019, because I remember it was supposed to be on my birthday, because November 8th is mm-hmm. my birthday. Got pushed to February 14th, 2020.
Valentine's Day.
So it's not, it's not November 2020.
Okay, that makes it so much
better. February 2020. Because, I was thinking about it after I said it. I was like, no, they wouldn't have given us a teaser trailer a year and a half before the movie's coming out.
That would be a real jerk move.
Yeah, because, I mean, some people, like, I've heard of announced trailers that early where it's just logo mm-hmm. of movie that
like
you're excited
about. Like
what
we got with, like, Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Well, even Ghostbusters, though, wasn't it that just 2 years before?
I don't remember the length. I just remember it was the whole, like, it's the thunderstorm in the barn, and then it opens up, and it's the Ecto-1 in the barn. But that's pretty much just, like, you're not seeing any casting. You're not seeing any actors or,
right.
You know.
But, yeah, it was very much just an announced thing of, like, just this, real quick little guys that's coming. But I remember seeing that and thinking for something that hadn't even had casting done mm-hmm. was, like, absurdly early.
Yeah, because we were confused. We're like, we didn't even know this movie was happening.
And mm-hmm. then it's telling, because
it was, like, the day before they announced, like, the guy, the son of the director, the original ones or whatever.
Yeah.
Is, like, doing it. And then, like, literally the
Paul
next,
Reitman is doing it now. Or,
yeah, literally
or
the
Ivan
next
Reitman's
day,
son.
That's when it dropped or something like that.
Yeah.
Or vice versa. I don't remember.
Because it was, it was one
Austin
of those things.
Austin and Hunter and Shannon will
all
in the group chat tomorrow. We're gonna get. I messed up both of those names somehow. neither of those people actually exist.
Cody's back, so he can correct us.
He hasn't. Oh no, sorry.
I didn't even do it. I
He's our human. He's our human fact check.
Yeah.
We need to figure out a way to just get him here while we record, and then he can like scribble out on a whiteboard and just be like, "No, it's this."
I was having an inner like.
And he can bring in Ziva, because I haven't met that dog, but I want to.
I was thinking about it like a week ago. I was like, I really need to let that whole bit die. So I heard Ghostbusters, and I was like. In the back of my head, like, I'm not going to do it.
And then it felt, you did it. Well, it felt weird not having it.
I honestly was waiting for one of you to say something.
Exactly.
And in my head, I was like, he hasn't seen it. And nobody was saying anything. So
but see, this
I'm
is
glad
the
Jesse brought it.
It's that thing, too, that I knew that like if I didn't do it, it was going to get brought up because somebody was going to be like, all right, Dalton, where's it at? So this was the best Cody hasn't watched Ghostbusters bit.
All right. So anyway, moving on from there, we got the Mortal Kombat movie. Got a little bit more information there. Looks like it will be R-rated, which would.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be.
Heck yeah.
That would just, like, no. Like, why would you? PG-13 Mortal Kombat, guys.
G-rated, bro.
I mean, in fairness, they did a Mortal Kombat cartoon.
Oh.
Like, man. Do you remember that?
No.
Yeah, that was a thing.
I guess like, it wasn't, though.
90s cartoon, it wasn't good.
Well, like, they were making cartoons out of, like, 90s True. Cartoons out of every fighting game.
Right. But Mortal Kombat. The reason we have the SRB.
One of them, yeah, for sure.
It was the big one.
It's yeah, no.
That one and Night Trap.
I want to go watch this now.
The but it's like, and they've announced.
Oh, God, it looks horrible.
Yes, because it was. They've announced some of the casting, too.
I see it,
too,
I'm like, oh.
Which, one of the characters that they've named is, like, not a character. Like, it's not someone in the established lore of Mortal Kombat.
In the movie? Oh.
Yeah, so a lot of people are thinking they're going to do, like, it's going to be this guy's it's going to be this guy's story just in the Mortal Kombat universe.
Huh.
And everywhere, people are like, no one wants that. That's what you did with, like, Armageddon, and everyone disliked that. Like,
and, I mean, it wouldn't be the first time they've done a movie like that. Like the Street Fighter movie was just all sorts of, anyway.
You can't even buy it.
The old Mortal Kombat.
I'm literally trying to like this
I
would
want
be
to see
a,
pictures.
Oh, okay. Give me a second. I'll pull it back up.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
The title.
Yeah. So anyway, we still don't have much more information than that. Like, yeah, there's a couple casting bits.
Mm-hmm.
Asa has pretty much given us literally every bit of information we've got, other than now the R rating and the fatalities. That's
which that all was of just it. A like. I guess a thing that happened on social media, like the dude's Twitter, was just like, no, yeah, it's going to be R-rated. There will be fatalities.
Which is good.
That's Sub-Zero.
Ron Perlman was in it. A striker.
Did the voice?
Yeah, Luke Perry was Sub-Zero.
Huh.
Yeah, it was a thing.
Clancy Brown was
Raiden.
Like it was a real thing.
Looking at the pictures, like I definitely remember this existing
now. I got
now,
a Thundercats vibe from it, the way they're all running. Just looked at it and wanted to yell Thundercats instead.
Which again, it's just that early like mid-90s animation style that's just not great.
I know what I'm doing at work tomorrow. I mean,
work.
Yeah. On my lunch break is what I meant.
She's gonna finish those Avatar graphic novels. But anyway, Don Cheadle got cast in Space Jam 2.
I hope he's the Bill Murray.
I would also be fine with that.
Yeah, yeah, like that's like when you said that, I was like, and there's
and
the
he's
Bill Murray.
And he's actually going to be Don Cheadle.
Or, just... counterpoint, skip Bill Murray. Now.
That's fine with me.
I mean, I'm sure he's going to make an appearance in the movie. Yeah. Like, it would shock me if he wouldn't.
It would just be good to get the I'm Too Old for This and then just have like Bugs shut him up or something. Like that would be a good time.
I haven't looked too much into it, but it's not a remake, right? Or is it?
I don't think it's a remake.
Okay.
I want it to be a sequel if they're going
to
do it.
No, I think it's supposed to be a sequel. Like,
yeah,
because
they're calling it Space Jam 2.
That's what I thought, but I just want to...
With
remix.
LeBron James.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got to do everything that Jordan did so he can finally be better and not exactly the same.
I suggest getting a couple more championship rings. That would be a good place to start.
I thought at this point
this
he has
is
more.
Nerd up.
Jordan.
No one knows what sports are.
I thought he
don't
did
talk
have
about
more.
Sports facts.
His stats might just be better.
Oh, I was like, but I did it the first time, too. Don't look at me like that.
Again, you're ruining it.
I'm going to go see Space Jam 2 in my Michael Jordan jersey, though.
Mad lad.
You can never take the original away.
So, yeah, we've got, and I was actually going to do a callback to that bit.
You're welcome.
Because I was talking about basketball now. But you ruined it.
The Stone Cold bit, Mandy.
No, I was trying to. I've been learning Spanish, and I know I just learned basketball, and I was trying to. It's like baloncesto.
So anyway, yeah, the release date on it is going to be July 16th, 2021.
I'm kind of excited to see a trailer for this one.
I am too.
Like, I'm real curious about this because I love Space Jam. I do. I know. Does not hold up very well.
I watched it.
I still dig it.
Downloading Space Jam.
No, like, I love it.
It's on Hulu.
Again, I love Space Jam. Like if we like went somewhere and someone put it on, I would watch it.
I have.
But factually, I recognize that doesn't hold up super well.
I watched it literally 3 months ago, and mm-hmm. I still had a blast watching it. And yes, you're absolutely right. But
again,
it's still really good.
That's not the point I'm making. Yeah. Like, you are not hearing me.
If someone that had never seen the film before were to watch it right now,
it's like me going back and trying to watch Buffy. It's just like woof.
No, this is Space Jam. No, this is different.
Aged.
This is different.
Which
granted,
like the Looney Tunes stuff still looks great. Like the animated stuff, it's the human element trying to interact with the. Yeah.
No, Space Jam aged like fine milk. Like I get it.
For about a
like
year.
Fine wine, you mean?
Like,
actually, no. I haven't seen it in a while, but I'm sticking to my guns.
you'll rewatch it because I saw it was one of those things. Like I was scrolling through Hulu. And I was looking for something to throw on just in the background while I was playing whatever I was playing on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I see Space Jam recently added. I'm like, all right, Space Jam. coming soon to Jesse's recently watched list. Yeah. Click.
It's one of the few movies I own the steelbook to.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It's a beautiful steelbook.
Because I remember watching it in college because it was on. We had, for whatever reason, we had charter for like 6 months because when we signed up for internet at our apartment, they were running like a crazy deal. So we watched it on like Cartoon Network aired it one morning. So I watched it with commercials all the way through, loved it. But then, even then, like I think that might have been the last time that I've seen it. I remember thinking like, it's not what I had in my head.
I still enjoy the crap out of it though. But no, you're absolutely right. Like if I were to say, like if someone were to say to me like, I have never seen Space Jam, should I watch it? The answer is no.
Yes.
Let me recap it for you, and here's the soundtrack. We'll play this in the background while I explain the plot of the movie.
Oh,
to
I
you.
Thought we were gonna sing. I'm all ready to welcome.
Oh
to
no.
She made me be like, I came back to the right podcast.
I was ready.
My date for senior prom, we listened to the soundtrack or the Space Jam soundtrack on the way to the wherever the venue was.
The soundtrack was it was fire. It was a fire so soundtrack.
You put it on Apple Music, you can only get like two songs. I was pretty
is it on Spotify?
I was pretty depressed by that. Cause
probably,
like, oh,
probably because Spotify's good.
So anyway,
I was on your side. You realize that, right?
Sorry.
All right, so
Space Jam mode.
More going back to the 90s here.
Spotify and Spotify.
I'm with you, please. Jesse, I'm with you, baby. Let's do this.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm back. That was funny to me.
And now we owe somebody a lot of money.
I thought I was clicking on the
only,
album.
So only a handful of the songs are on there.
Oh, hmm.
Well, it's kind of like the Goofy movie soundtrack too. I'm waiting for the other
The two best songs aren't on it, so what's the point?
The Welcome to the Space Jam is the one. I just clicked.
Hit 'Em
on
High
it.
Is not on it, and Buggin' is not on it.
Buggin'.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah,
you have YouTube.
That's true.
So anyway, you can't add YouTube to your playlist on Spotify. So going back to more 90s nostalgia, Power Rangers. So we had that Power Rangers movie back in 2017. What? Right?
Probably.
The Power Rangers movie?
17 or 18.
It happened in 2017. I don't know why Dalton's doing this bit. It was a
because
fine
it
movie.
Was
20,
because
it was
2017,
yeah.
It wasn't spandex and sparks. So he doesn't like it because Dalton's an idiot.
And Whoa. Let's reiterate, the movie tanked. So maybe they should.
I thought the movie made money.
I apparently didn't make enough.
I mean,
that's
like,
what I was hearing.
Obviously, critically, it didn't do great. But I thought it made money. Anyway, the point is we've got Power Rangers, they're doing another reboot. All new cast.
Let it die.
Just going to hit us another one. Can we bring back Elizabeth Banks as Rita Repulsa?
I was fine with that. Do Goldar right though.
Right. Yeah. Do Goldar right. Yeah. Bring. Yeah.
Because that movie wasn't as bad as Dalton would have you to believe. Also, its budget was $105 million and it made $142 million.
Yeah. Well,
so it only made
a wide margin of error.
It only made $39 million.
I was about to say, like, what are you? You're sitting there like,
that's gonna take you forever to make.
But also, I don't know if that's worldwide or not because like the Google's like summary that's right there. Initial release date March 22nd, and then it has Indonesia. So that's just a weird. Unless it like released there,
they were really released later in
but
Indonesia.
But it was in 17.
Yeah, it was definitely 17.
Let's go to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
See what you got to tell me.
Because it was my first year after college.
I was like Dalton sitting over here going, "Ooh, it wouldn't do great on $39 million."
Which I mean, in fairness. Like
when you throw out like Disney numbers and stuff like that, yeah, no.
Well,
that's,
and also the
that's the kind of movie they were making.
The incomprehensible greed of investors and expectations.
So let me reiterate:
they wanted they were expecting Disney numbers. They thought they had an Avengers on their hands.
See, really, like you probably could have made the argument about the toys didn't sell well. Because that's where, like, the movie made money. The toys may not have.
I don't know anything about that. A lot of the toys. Well, the toys sold well after they went on clearance. But they did the Legacy figures, which was a really big thing at the time for Power Ranger figures.
Yeah.
And they did the Legacy figures for just that movie, but they were Toys R Us only. And that's a really bad thing to do. It's also really indicative of how well, like, they think the movie's going to do. If they just, like, we're going to make a really short production line of these toys for a Power Rangers product. And we hope they sell for $20 a piece, and even though they're uglier than sin. The toys weren't good looking.
So either way, the point is, Power Rangers getting rebooted again, all new cast.
And that was worldwide, $142 million. Yeah. So, yeah, that's more yikes. Like if it was domestic, that's okay because then they still have worldwide. But that was
that's where I thought you were going was like that was domestic.
That's what I was hoping to find. But yeah, so it didn't do great. Like it got its money back plus some.
Yeah.
So I mean that's not a total loss.
But with kids franchise,
fact that it made money meant that they're going to make another movie. Had it not made any money, then this probably wouldn't be happening at all.
Right. So I mean, I don't know. I hope they. I will see this one too. And don't get me wrong, I did not love this movie, but it wasn't as bad as a lot of people like made it out to be.
It was a solid popcorn flick.
Yeah.
It was better than Suicide Squad.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'll concede that, yes. I had to think about it, and I'm like, you know what? I was really insulted by both movies, but if I look back on it, Power Rangers was way less egregious.
Yeah,
so much more. So, I mean, like, I'll be interested to see what they, because I feel like they're not going to do something similar. Like they're not. I would be surprised if we got kind of like the gritty, edgy version that this movie, that the 17 movie was.
Yeah, I don't think we're gonna get that again.
I'll be curious. Like, I feel like instead of it being PG-13, like this will get jumped. Like this will be a PG movie.
Because really,
unless they like lean harder into
go straight R,
and go straight R.
And see, that's kind of the boat that I was in for it. Like, it felt like they wanted to appeal to like us. Mm-hmm. Like they wanted us to be their audience as, you know, kids that grew up with Power Rangers, but they didn't want to alienate little kids that were fans of Power Rangers.
And like the Power Rangers series that's going now.
Right.
Like, oh, there's a Power Rangers movie? Well, it's different, but I still want to see it.
Yeah. So yeah, they wanted to like so they basically they went lukewarm on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they really should have gone one way or the other, and it would have done way better, I think.
And that's why I think like they'll do PG. Like they will do, this will be a kid movie, but it will have enough elements to keep like our age demographic people entertained.
Yeah, I could see
like,
that.
Like I see that way more than like I would be absolutely shocked if we got an R-rated Power Rangers anything in an official capacity.
Yeah.
I'm not talking like the fan made Bat in the Sun and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Which that was the one that actually had Jason David Frank and who else was in that? They had, was it Kimberly? I'm trying to remember that actress.
I don't
name.
Remember. Amy Jo Johnson.
Thank you.
I want to say both of them were in it.
I don't remember her doing, like, he's done a couple of them with them. And now they have, like, a big GoFundMe for another one to get Jason David Frank that they want to do. But
yeah, and I feel like with the success of those, like, I would really like it if they would see that and, like, oh, that would sell well. And then they look and see, like, Deadpool's like, a rated R movie can do well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where it's not, like...
There's a big difference between Deadpool's audience and Power Rangers audience.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, that's because a comic book character that leans into, like, mature books. And this is a franchise that has always been PG.
Yeah.
If not G.
Yeah. Well, like the violence.
Like, they got violence that still gets a G somehow.
Sometimes.
It's like TVY7.
Because it's one of those
like, maybe.
So, like... I'm a big, and I love the Power Rangers as a kid. The most that I want to deal with it now is they're doing these the new Lightning figures from Hasbro. I want to buy those. I really don't want to ingest any more like Power Rangers actual content, unless I'm just going to go back and watch the show for kicks.
You like the comic books.
Okay. Oh, all right. Fairness. I do like the comic books.
Yeah. I would really like to just see those adapted, because those are just a more, like a slightly more mature version. Like that could, they could adapt the comic books into PG-13, and I think it would be fine.
Yeah. Or just give us like that version of the comic books in a TV series. You're just remaking Mighty Morphin, but like just update it.
Oh, see, and that's, like, I think that's part of the reason that this one didn't do so well, is because especially if you just try to flat out do, like, they've already struggled with the casting once. Not in the sense that the actors didn't do well, but, like...
They weren't written the best.
And not even that, it's just like, okay, you have these people playing Jason, David, or, David, I almost said Jason, David, Frank.
You have,
Jason, Zach,
Tommy,
Billy, Tom,
no,
yeah,
yeah, Tommy wasn't in
Tommy
there,
wasn't
so.
It. But it's like, oh, but they weren't, That's not them. That's not Austin St.
John. Yeah.
Like that's.
But they did. But they've already tried it. And it's one of those things. Like, and that's why I'm just like, dude, just let me buy the toys. Like, get the actors' likenesses on the unhelmeted heads, like they did for Jason David Frank. Let me buy the toys, and then like, just make Power Rangers series. It's fine. It still sells. You're still making money on the toys. You don't have to go out of your way to make these movies that are just going to sully the product in a lot of people's eyes. Because I know I wasn't the only person that, like, did not like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of people that didn't. Anyway, moving on, though. We got a new streaming service coming up.
you don't say.
Right? WarnerMedia is putting out a new streaming service. And it's going to be called HBO Max.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I was going to say, I was like, didn't we talk about this last... Didn't we already talk about theirs last week?
Wait. What did we talk about last week?
You talked about it on the Thursday show because of Friends.
Oh, no. We talked about it on Tuesday. Shannon and I talked about it on Tuesday.
That's right. That's when Allie came in midway.
Yeah.
My bad.
Yeah,
you guys didn't.
Okay. All right. No, we're good. So, you know, HBO Max. That's going to be WarnerMedia's new streaming service. And it will include content from DC. Bafflingly.
Wait.
Burn.
It'll also include stuff from, HBO. So, and as far as we know, like HBO Go, or HBO Now rather, surely is going to be absorbed into this, and so will the DC Universe.
They would stay separate.
Which just. What? So, anyway, in addition to DC and HBO, they've also got content from TNT, TBS, True TV, CW, Cartoon Network,
Jokers.
Crunchyroll, and Rooster Teeth.
Oh, okay.
And a bunch of other stuff.
Because I remember Shannon saying Crunchyroll, and I was like, but Crunchyroll's its own streaming service.
True.
So is DC.
Well, yeah, I mean, DC has its own streaming service, but, like, unless, like, am I mistaken in that Crunchyroll is a network other than just a straight-up streaming service?
That I can't tell you.
Because DC has stuff all over the place. They got it on CW. They got it, like, they have their own streaming service. So that makes more sense. But to feature content from a streaming service is weird.
Yeah.
Like, that would be like if Swamp Thing showed up on HBO Max.
Because that was one thing, like, that I meant to actually look up and see if, like, maybe WarnerMedia is, like, you know, Crunchyroll's parent company. Because I don't actually know.
Which would make
sense. And that would make sense that it would be involved in that. But, you know, I'm looking at all this stuff, and, yeah, like, Friends, you guys mentioned, like, one of those things. A lot of people are kind of upset about Friends will be leaving Netflix, and this will be the exclusive place to find Friends. Mm-hmm. Because Netflix actually paid, like, $100 million to Warner Media to keep Friends for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of 2019, it's going to, you know, this HBO Max streaming service, as well as, and this is one thing that'll at least get me to get a free trial to it, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air will be on HBO Max.
Sweet.
And I've been wanting to stream that show for
a while.
That's
a good show. Did you get Outer Media?
Huh?
Did you get Outer Media?
I did. It also looks like it's just a streaming service.
Okay. Yeah.
It is definitely just a streaming service.
But that's what I meant. Because if it was anything other than just a streaming service specifically, it would make more sense. Like if there was a
Crunchyroll
network on like satellite or something that I'm so far removed from having satellite or cable, like it could have been and I just didn't know.
It's one of those things, though. This would not be the first time that Crunchyroll, I'm not going to say licensed out, but put their content onto their streaming services, because Crunchyroll was part of, I say part of, they've been their own thing for a really, really long time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But like a year ago, they were on Verve. Like if you had a Verve subscription, you got Crunchyroll content too.
Because mm-hmm. Verve was like that weird, like it was a bunch of the much smaller like comedy streaming sites and stuff like that.
And they had Rooster Teeth stuff on there. They had a bunch of Nickelodeon stuff on there.
Mm-hmm. And I think Lindsay had that for a little while, didn't she?
Yeah, really, because she was really happy that it had old school Nickelodeon stuff as well as a lot of her anime stuff on there. Mm-hmm. But I think both of those are now off of Verve. I'm not positive about that, but I'm pretty at least one of those is no longer on Verve, because I remember Lindsay being upset about it. So I could very much see like Rooster Teeth and Crunchyroll both like just they got offered a better deal from Warner Media, and that's how like Warner Media is going to have anime on there, because I mean they're just going through Crunchyroll's licenses. Mm-hmm. And then Rooster Teeth has been putting stuff on, like, because Ruby and Red versus Blue are both on Netflix right now. So
Red
I could
versus
see
Blue has been on Netflix for a long mm-hmm. time.
Yeah, and yep. Same thing with Ruby. And the CW was on that list. Like CW has that huge deal with Netflix that I absolutely love, where like a week after it's done airing on cable, it's on, like, that
the
entire
season's
on. Yeah, it just dumps onto Netflix. Which I love that.
It's real nice.
But, yeah, like, that's, and it's looking like, you know, HBO Max might be the conclusion of that deal as well. So, yeah, Netflix is losing a ton of content to Warner Media, which is a real bummer.
Time to bump out Stranger Things Season 4.
Yeah.
Keep
acting.
Well, in addition to Stranger Things, like something else to keep your Netflix subscription around, Studio MDHR, the guys behind Cuphead, they are producing a Cuphead animated show that's being done by the Netflix animation studio.
I thought you were going to say MDMA. Like, MDMA produced Cuphead animation show.
Technically
yeah.
true.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That would be very much interesting. I'm excited for this. The art style looks different, which it has to be, like, because they're trying to keep as much of the hand-drawn aesthetic as possible mm-hmm. without them taking 6 years to make an episode.
Yep. Because that was one of the things that there was an interview they did with one of the original creators for one of the big guys at MDHR, and he was talking about, like, we Netflix Animation, we trust them to take care of this, because if it was us, it would never get done.
Yeah, and he talked more about, like, the digital style versus the hand-drawn, like, cells and things like that and different concessions that they had to make. The poster is all we've gotten from it so far, and his, like, couple of interviews he's done places. I'm super excited for it to an extent because, like, to me, like, I love the art and I love the characters are adorable, but I don't want them to become, like, I don't want to not like the characters because of the cartoon.
Oh, that's fair.
And there's not, like, a whole lot of story to Cuphead other than you lost at a casino, so now the devil owns your soul, and the only way for you to not have him not kill you is to kill all these other people and steal their souls from people who have also, like, welched on deals with the devil. And it's like, I don't know how you're gonna I'm curious about it. I will absolutely watch all of it when it comes out.
It sounds like Dead Like Me almost.
But it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting.
But if it keeps that Rubber Hose style and, like, it looks as good as the game, or at least, you know, as good as it can with doing the digital, then I'm all about that.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. Gotten... But, you know, Netflix is getting closer and closer to just almost purely original content.
Yep, yeah.
And then, you know, the few movie licenses and stuff they still have. Like, it's getting real dark for Netflix. Yeah. I say, you know, while they're just laughing in their billions and billions of dollars. Because, I mean, their original content is great. And they put out a lot of it. Like, so much more than even I realized they put out.
I know every time there's, like, way more on their original
series. Yeah, like Netflix original movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't know all of them. Oh, my God. And you just scroll and scroll and scroll.
And a lot of it is really good.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, it's not marketed well because where are they going to market it to?
Yeah.
Like,
Hulu ad.
Right? Pick up Hulu ads for it. I did see a trailer for a Netflix movie in another movie in the theaters recently. I'm trying to remember what it was, though.
Huh.
Because I thought it was interesting. I think it was a trailer for the new Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston.
Oh my movie. God, I saw that the other day, and I was like, put this on my watch later list.
It's actually surprisingly good.
I'm
excited. I really enjoyed it.
That's not a sentence I got to hear too terribly often nowadays.
Yeah.
An Adam Sandler movie is surprisingly good. Yeah. Which, admittedly, you know, you guys have heard me talk about it before. Like, Adam Sandler is a little bit my guilty pleasure.
No, I mean, it's fine, like, that you like him. It's just a lot of those movies post, like, 2002. Not fantastic. Now, it's 2019. He's not been batting super well in 17 years.
No, in fairness, most of his Netflix exclusive movies have been real fun.
Yeah.
Like that movie was really good. The Ridiculous Six was really good.
That was one that I almost wanted to watch. Like, yeah, about watching.
It was funny.
The Cobbler was okay.
The Cobbler I had really enjoyed.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I wouldn't say I hated it.
The Sandy Wexler movie wasn't great.
Movie that I was most excited for was a garbage fire. The one with Andy Samberg. I can't think of which one it was called. That's My Boy, I think. He did one with Andy Samberg like 5 years ago. It was horrible.
I don't remember it.
I'll look it up.
He did one with Chris Rock.
I watched part of that one.
Oh, God. It was something to do with, like, because it's about, like, his daughter is marrying Chris Rock's son, and it's something to do with the wedding, but I don't remember what the name of it is.
That's My Boy.
I did not see that movie.
Yeah, not a lot of people didn't.
I did.
Was it on?
So did I.
Was it a Netflix exclusive?
I saw that in theaters.
Okay, so it was not a Netflix exclusive.
It was bad.
Yeah.
No, I believe that.
That's how you know it's bad. We're both saying it was dumpster fire.
But yeah, no, like, my point though stands. Like, all the Netflix material he has produced has been surprisingly good.
There's
yeah.
somebody at Netflix being like, "Eh, you better fix it." that ain't flying. Yeah, you better
tighten it up. Cuz like his stand-up special. I loved his stand-up special.
I need to see that.
It was really good. I teared up at the end of it.
Oh, is that the one with Farley? The song to Farley?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't need to see that.
Oh, it's
the second he pulls, like, does he have the guitar the entire time?
Yeah.
Oh, balls. I was like, the second he grabs the guitar, I'm just going to hit.
Because, I mean, it's an Adam Sandler special. Most of it is him doing songs.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on, though. Lashana Lynch is reported to adopt the 007 mantle in Bond 25. This was the woman that played Monica Rambeau in the Captain Marvel movie.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Right. Yeah.
This is one that there's always been so many, like, of these stories that come out, like, every year. The main reason that I'm as skeptical as I am is just because of the timing of it. Because, like, Daniel Craig just returned to filming, like, this week or last week. Sometime, like, in that time frame.
He's been filming that murder mystery movie.
No, they're doing Bond 25. But he got hurt on the set because that's one of the things that he hates about doing the Bond movies is
they kill you.
He's getting his butt kicked the entire time.
That was a good cover.
And so, like, he's just now coming back to filming for the movie. So they are in production of 25 that he's doing. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nuts that they would already be not only actively casting. Unless, because every time he's done a Bond movie, he said that he'll never do one again.
Right.
Like, after Quantum of Solace, I'm pretty sure he was just like, never again.
And then he hears beep.
Yeah, and then
beep.
The money truck comes back.
Well, because I know I thought the reason they hadn't, he hadn't been filming is because, like, they've got a murder mystery movie coming out starring Daniel Craig.
I mean, maybe, but no, he's like, they're filming 25 now, but he broke his hand or something.
Huh.
Or his foot, or, I'm gonna, let me
either way.
Up.
The theory here is that it's a it's Bond on the verge of retirement in the movie the idea is that he has retired and he gets called back in for another mission, and the person that has replaced him that has taken up the 007 mantle is Lashana Lynch, and she just, you know, comes walking to the office when M calls her,
cuz that's always been like the running theory is that cuz the reason that we've had so many actors play James Bond is because 007 James Bond isn't their name, it's a title.
Yeah,
but they never address it. And then you also have the thing where I don't remember which two movies it happens, but at the end of one movie Blofeld kills Bond's wife. And then the next movie there's a new actor and it like starts at her grave. And so it's like, okay, so is he the same guy? Like, and then with the Daniel Craig movies, this is all like, oh, this is at the very beginning of his career, because that's how we're getting like the Blofeld and things like that happening now.
But they're not,
these are all prequels.
But they don't really call them prequels, though, in fairness, do they?
No, I mean, they don't call them prequels because they never refer to these movies as sequels.
Yeah. Right.
Unless it is the same actor, in which case then it's a sequel, because then it's clear-cut the same timeline. But every time that shift happens, it gets weird. And there's been a million fan theories. There's been a million debates. Like, but there is no official word on how James Bond works. So this could be a way of them, like, finally, like, the Broccoli family finally establishing... like, nope, this is what happens,
which would be neat. Because that would shatter a whole bunch of fan theories, and it would, you know, turn a couple of them right, because I obviously the real situation is that they needed a new actor and they want to keep putting out these movies because they make a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Also, he required ankle surgery, like a minor ankle surgery, back in May.
I guess the other murder mystery movie is probably not very physically demanding.
And then he was filming apparently.
He was in a wheelchair.
So he started filming like middle of last month, but he was in a cast still.
Nice. All right. This next portion of our podcast brought to you by our friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Stop by there for all of your comic book needs. Also, they serve delicious coffee. Like if you're traveling down 55, turn off on Perryville, get you a cup of coffee.
Did you see their sale video?
No.
They did one on Facebook. I shared it with just captioning, "I love them." It was Mary Jo talking to Groot, their little Groot they had, talking about the sale. Yeah, it was adorable. It's hands down like the most adorable thing I've seen on Facebook today. And I've been watching cat videos.
Audra's friends from Nebraska came in town. And on their way back, we sent them to Villainous Grounds. And they loved it. Because of course they did.
Yeah, why wouldn't they? There's nothing to not love there. That negative made some
sense. Scrolled to it.
Yeah, this is the most recent thing I shared.
All right, so some of the books that you can get reserved at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Teenage Mutant Turtle and Power Rangers is getting a crossover. It's going to be a 5-issue miniseries starting December 4th.
Please be better than Justice League Power Rangers crossover.
That was not
that
great.
That got canceled halfway through,
and then they finished it up. But like, eventually. let's avoid that drama, yes. And let's make it good.
Yeah, we got Ryan Parrott and Simone DeMayo are that's the creative team behind that one. Don't have much information other than that.
And give me the Power Rangers and comic books all day long. There's two. There's two different books going on right now. I have them both, and I love reading them.
Nope.
Because Power Rangers in a comic book work amazing.
And speaking of turtles, though, not Power Rangers, turtles.
Turtles.
I was really afraid that I was going to say Power Rangers for this next bit. So I think we talked about it last week. There's a new turtle.
Mm-hmm. In the comics.
In the
official like IDW run.
Yeah, in the main Teenage Mutant Turtles run, there's an official female turtle. Because the female turtle that no Turtles fan wants to talk about does not exist in the comics canon, never has and never will.
Mm-hmm.
But you did have a female turtle. Jenny was introduced in issue number 95. The difference being she was actually a human turned turtle as opposed to a turtle turned human.
Mm-hmm.
She will have a yellow bandana. She'll have Wolverine style claws, but
she's got the Freddy, it's Wolverine, but like Freddy Krueger style. Cause
yeah,
they're
cause
like
she's holding them. Yeah. They're not jutting out of her or anything like that.
Human turned turtle got me. I'm sorry. I don't. My brain's been stuck there.
I
heard yellow Wolverine. All right, that's fine. But human turned turtle.
That's what got you?
That's where my brain is.
I also was just like, is that right? I guess it's kind of right.
They
but
were
is
just,
it right?
They were just turtles in the slime. There was no metamorphosis there.
Jenny, though, was a human. I don't know. Like, I saw the clip of like her becoming a turtle. She got a blood transfusion from Leo, I think. And that's turned her into a turtle.
Jesus Christ.
Which sets an interesting precedent in the Turtles universe.
Yeah, I wondered, like, because the early run of the comics were really, really good. I got, like, the first handful, but I have not kept up with the comics at all. Because, like, I see the official artwork, and I thought they killed Donatello. Which they might have, and it just didn't stick.
Books?
Yes, because I'm also pretty sure that, like, if the thing that I thought killed him didn't actually kill him, like, his shell was metal for a while because, mm-hmm. like, Shredder, like, destroyed his shell.
Oh.
And so, yeah, he had to have that, like, fully replaced. Like I said, I wasn't keeping up with it. I just saw, like, various pictures from, like, solicitations.
Huh.
So I've always wanted to, like, jump back into it, but it's been going for so long. Because I remember getting excited because I found, like, a third printing of a number one when I was living in Virginia.
Yeah, because, I mean, at this point, like, issue 95 is the first appearance of Jenny as a turtle.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, last I looked, it was upwards of $50 online.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not going to be an issue you're going to be able to find.
This is going to be if I want to read all this, it's going to be trades.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of those things where, and it's very much like the price is going up because of speculation. People are thinking the character is going to be bigger. So right now, there's definitely some artificial inflation to it. If you wait, it'll probably die down to 20. But yeah, right now it's sitting upwards of $50.
But like, just like Spider-Gwen, like, get that first appearance if you can and don't let go.
Yeah, if you've got an issue 95, you just go ahead and hold on to that because you never know when something's going to go full Spider-Gwen.
That could become gold.
Dalton, do yourself a favor. Do not look up the current value of that issue.
I haven't since the last time we had this conversation. Like 100, wasn't it?
Don't look it up.
We're on this. I remember it's like Edge of the Spider-Verse number 3 or something like that.
Two.
I don't have it anymore. There's
Don't look it up. But here are the exact details of what you shouldn't look up.
I need him to.
I legitimately made Sadie angry because I was like, she was like, oh, such a cool character. Like, she got into getting into comic books, and I was like, yeah, I had the first appearance of it. She's like, where is it? And I was like,
one, even if you had it, you're not touching it.
That stays. No, yeah, that's going into a slab. Sealed, yeah. Yes, that's sealed up.
Shopping.
So anyway, and in Turtles 97, she's actually going to be appearing for the first time in the bandana with the claws and everything.
Part of me wants to kind of go like pick that up since they're getting close to 100.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. That could be kind of cool to have. 100th issue.
But I need to show you my list of stuff that I need to start like picking up, and it's so much bigger than my current pull list.
That's never something you want. And like I'm gonna fix my pull list. Add six issues.
60% of them are Batman.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no. All right.
I found a 9.6, which mine definitely was not a 9.6. $540.
Jesus.
To be fair, 9.6
is real good.
That's rare. That's like finding a holo rare card.
Yeah.
Like, that's rare.
So, like,
9.6, by the way, folks, is the CGC grading scale. Like, 9.6 out of 10. It's near perfect.
You're mostly going to be finding, like, anywhere from the 7.5 to the 8.5 ranges.
It was you can find the early 9s pretty well. Like, 9.1 to 9.0 or 9.0 to 9.5 is pretty common.
I would be willing to say that mine was like an 8.8 to 9.2.
Yeah, thanks like to sorry, go ahead.
Mine was in pretty good shape.
Yeah, thanks to Diamond Distributing, getting a 9.5, like a retailer getting a 9.5 out of the box is virtually impossible.
Found one.
Or getting higher than a 9.5 out of a box.
Found a more one that I probably had. $200.
I was about to say, it still ain't great.
Yeah.
Spider-Gwen's gotten real big, especially Into the Spider-Verse. Like, it just completely refreshed that.
There's a new trailer for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. I don't know if it's new or not, but I haven't seen it. And it started auto-playing on my phone, so I have no sound. So I'm just watching. It's the Scarecrow one. And I am not okay.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I'm pretty sure I just puked a little.
Well, we'll move on from that here real quick to a little bit of DC news. DC has announced starting in October, they're going to do the Tales from the Dark Multiverse, which sounds really, really neat. They're going to be retelling some classic stories as though they came from the Dark Multiverse, which was introduced in Dark Knight's Metal.
Yeah.
It's the universes that cease existing because, you know, bad things happen. Like, it goes real bad real quick. So the first one they're going to do is Batman Nightfall. Which was the classic story of Batman getting his back broked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be Scott Snyder and Kyle Higgins are writing it.
Hey, David.
I actually was going to say, whenever you gave me that look of like, whatever. Like, no, wait till you hear the creative team on this first one.
A lot of these sound really cool.
Yeah.
I just want it for the creative team.
So yeah, Scott Snyder and Kyle Higgins are writing it with Javier Fernandez is doing the art.
That's a bummer. I wanted to be
Greg Capullo.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah, and in this one, Azrael becomes, instead of Azrael, is Saint Batman. Batman never gets better.
He doesn't come back.
And he just Saint Batman just like he exacts the kind of justice he wants to exact on Gotham City.
And it's Snyder and Higgins.
Yeah. Until the son of Bane comes to take back the Gotham City.
David, please.
This sounds really, really
neat. I needed this one and the variant print for all of them.
And then the other book they're doing, and they're going to do more, but these are the first two. Death of Superman, which is going to be written by Jeff Loveness with art by Brad Walker. This is going to be heavily featured with Supergirl. Superman obviously doesn't resurrect, blah, 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 blah. Less interesting because it's Superman.
Right.
But even that, like, it sounds super cool, like them talking about, like, oh, no, it's, like, I thought it was Lois Lane. I could have misread it.
Oh, it might be Lois Lane. I'll be honest, I skimmed it.
She somehow gets...
it's Superman, no one cares.
Yeah, Lois Lane, twisted by rage and grief over the Man of Steel's death, becomes the Eradicator, taking revenge on those who let Superman die and the corrupt world he could never defeat. Now with the power of a god, she's going to end the never-ending battle by any means necessary, halting the reign of the Superman before it even begins.
Good lord.
How do you get the power of a
don't
god?
Don't care. Sounds awesome.
Rage mode.
Human turned turtle.
And then they're also doing Infinite Crisis, Blackest Night, New Teen Titans, The Judas Contract, which that was the other one that I would be super interested in. Because worth noting, like if you guys haven't read it, the Dark Multiverse are essentially, this is the worst possible timeline. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like this is the darkest timeline
I've read
world.
Metal.
Yeah.
So I'm for it. Also, Judas Contract is what brought Nightwing in.
Yeah, so I'm willing to bet that like someone dies. Like someone dies that did not die.
All right, so David.
Or Tara just like doesn't have her moment, and then there's all sorts of things that could happen with that is going to be real interesting.
Yeah. That's a run that might get added.
So those
tonight.
Will all be like their own stories, right? They won't tie into anything.
No, I think these are all Elseworld titles,
yes.
Right? And okay. It also sounds like they're just going to be like one shot.
Yes, at least the first two are just one shots.
Mm-hmm. Which is
what does that mean?
There is one issue. The whole story's in one issue.
Okay.
Yeah. That better be like a Black Label book then.
As of right now, it's not being pushed under Black Label.
Which is a little surprising because it's Dark Multiverse.
Agreed.
But
because they could get a lot more brutal with it in Black Label. Speaking of Black Label, though, we did get a couple more books announced for Black Label. We're getting Joker Killer Smile. Jeff Lemire is writing that one with art by Andrea Sorrentino. It's coming out October 30th. It'll be a three-part book, and it's a new story of Joker corrupting not Harley Quinn, just another doctor. It's going to have some extra ramifications to
Harry
it.
Harry Quinn.
Though it is Jeff Lemire. Jeff Lemire is actually doing both of the ones I'm about to talk about, and I like Jeff Lemire a lot.
He's
a very talented writer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll probably give this one a shot. Same thing with The Question. Jeff Lemire is going to be writing this book, which I like The Question. I'd be interested in reading some more stuff. It's going to be The Deaths of Vic Sage. It's going to be a four-parter. It's going to be the Old West through the 1930s, and it's going to be The Question investigating his own death. This description was really confusing.
Yeah, but, okay. I mean, The Question also is just kind of confusing.
What is The Question? Who is The Question?
Remember the Justice League Unlimited, the guy with the trench coat and no face?
I'm on it.
I think so.
Yeah, that's The Question. Him.
Was he in that Joker movie at all? No, that's what the Joker looked like before he went crazy.
And that's the Red Hood.
That was
the
Red Hood. Yeah.
No, yeah. The question is he just looks like he doesn't have a face.
I love that my Google is just like, yes, we know that you're talking about a comic book character.
Well, you say no face, so then we just read Avatar and the Water Tribes.
Yeah.
Had no
I look
face.
Like that guy.
Yeah. Okay.
But he can still talk.
I've only read a couple things that he was in. Like, he did a thing with Night Runner.
Is he supposed to be a bad guy?
No,
he's
a detective.
It's like a hard-boiled detective story, typically, is when he shows up.
Yep. And sometimes, like, he's wearing a mask. Sometimes he legitimately has no face. He's a weird character.
Yeah, he's not written really consistently. It seems like this is just straight-up biting off Hawkman, though, which
might
is kind of weird, because that's kind of Hawkman's stick, is he and Hawkgirl just constantly like live and die and be reincarnated as the vessels of the hawk or whatever.
Yeah.
But now they're doing that with The Question. Interested in it. This is probably not one that I'm going to pull myself, but if it's ever,
especially
if
with,
I hear good things and it's collected, I might.
Dennis Cowan is doing art as well as, I never get this dude's name right. Bill Sienkiewicz. I think is.
I'm going to say you're close enough.
The spelling on this, just for you guys, S I E N K I E W I C Z.
I would say you were in the ballpark.
You tried.
You might not be in the exact seat, but you can see the same game.
So that's a no.
The point is, but in this case, it's way too many vowels next to each other. Either way, his art though is really, really cool. Like it's not like it's very unique. He's more like it's more of a painter kind of situation going on. It's neat. It's neat art. I recommend looking it up. It's kind of cool, especially like his process.
I'm gonna need you to like. Copy and paste that name to me.
That's fair. Just look up the question, The Deaths of Vic Sage. You'll see.
That'll be easy.
Yeah, you can see the creative team that way. All right. This last portion of our podcast is brought to you by our friends at Press Start to Join. You can find their podcast and all of their content, including their social media links at ps2jshow.com. All right. So we got the Switch Lite was announced.
Yeah.
The brand new handheld only non dockable Nintendo Switch with non separatable Joy-Cons, a smaller screen, and a better battery. Giant well, I say better, it's not necessarily a better battery, but it does last longer.
It's a giant Game Boy Advance.
It was a giant DS with only one screen.
So a Game Boy Advance.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, yeah, I guess. But it's better than a Game Boy Advance.
Well.
Because it's a Switch.
Yeah, no, it's still a great system.
Can you play Mario Super Circuit on the Switch Lite? That's the only one I could think of.
No, but you can play Mario Maker 2.
That's or true. Mario Kart 8.
I was helping Mandy, guys. I'm sorry.
They've announced in three colors, yellow, turquoise, gray, and then there's going to be a Pokemon edition confirmed.
And that one looks pretty.
It does look kind of pretty. I was actually, when I saw this, it's only going to be $200.
Then that's the big thing.
That's the real big thing. We got a Switch sitting right here in the studio that was brought in by a little kid that destroyed it because little kids destroy things.
And that's what this is for.
And that is what this is for. This is a $200. It is going to be significant. It's just like the 2DS was.
It's the younger sibling special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one solid piece.
Yeah, it's one solid piece. It's going to be way harder to break. Like, it's going to be a lot more durable. It's going to be way harder to break.
Oh, well.
I take excellent care of my Switch, and it's already faulty. Like, the left really? Joy-Con just kind of... If I put too much pressure on the bottom Joy-Con while I'm holding it, it will pop up.
Oh, mine just automatically walks you left.
Oh, yeah. Hers. Oh, okay. She's had the drifting stick problem.
Yeah.
I guess I've just been
which
really
which is
lucky
pretty fixable.
I think Shannon...
It's unfortunate. It has to be.
Shannon has the... Like, his Switch has the same problem mine does. But okay. So, I mean, but no. This is going to be very, very, like... This is the younger kid special, like
yeah.
You're the second Switch, so you keep your one docked in your TV, and you got the one that you keep handheld that you can travel with.
Yeah,
especially if it's got that longer battery life.
And honestly, as someone that does travel a lot with my Switch, I was really hoping that this was dockable, because I have two docks. I would absolutely pay $200 for another Switch so that I don't have to, like, another more travel capable Switch.
Yeah. I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Not dockable.
Does it charge in a dock though?
No,
it doesn't dock.
It will not go in the dock at all.
But it's a USB-C still.
Right.
So I mean,
the bottom of the dock has the two little things that pop
thing
up.
Or whatever.
So yeah, like that would block it from being inserted.
Which also, if it doesn't dock, you wouldn't want to put it in a dock anyway. Like that would be kind of.
It could be an alternate way to charge it while you're not using it.
I was going with that logic.
The screen is also smaller, so the buttons may not even fit in it.
But my dock is like by my TV, and where I sit is nowhere near my TV, so I would never even consider like charging it on the dock. Like it would just go into one of my phone chargers.
You just swap it with the Switch that was in the dock.
Yeah.
Now I play this one in handheld mode. What?
It does look really cool though, and like I personally think the turquoise one looks real neat.
Mm. It's not bad.
But if it not docking is a deal breaker for me. But I know that I am not the audience. Yeah. I have my Switch. I love my Switch. I've customized the crap out of my Switch. It looks very pretty.
And it also, like, there's no rumble for the, like, it doesn't rumble, and it's max 720p.
It also doesn't have the motion controls and the infrared scanner on the bottom of it.
But it does have
the NFC reader, so you can still use Amiibo and Amiibo cards and stuff on it.
That's good.
So that's cool. I mean, I like it. I'm not going to get one just because I have no need for a second Switch.
Right.
Yeah.
But also, like, I can't tell you the last time that I played my Switch on TV. It might have been playing Switch. Like, that has almost exclusively become a handheld thing for me.
Two days ago.
Cool. Thanks to Smash Brothers, I almost never play mine handheld anymore.
See, and I know, like, and I haven't played Smash Brothers in forever. Like, that would be the last time that I played it.
Docked. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's gonna. Fire Emblem. I'm probably gonna play it handheld more often than on than docked. But
because we'll even how Mario it goes. Maker, like, I'll just, like, as I'm laying in bed, like, getting ready to go to sleep, I'll knock out a couple levels on Endless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Switch Lite though does look really cool. If you're out there, you've got kids, or you've been wanting to get a Switch and you don't really care about, like, playing it on the TV, like, this is a phenomenal way to jump in.
This is the 3DS killer.
This is their answer to it. They're no longer going to do 3DS games, which, I mean, has been coming down the pipeline for a while now.
Yep.
So this is the beginning of the end, I guess you could say.
Which, I mean, they still say that they're going to support 3DS, but yeah, we're going to see those releases kind of fewer and fewer.
Yeah, it's going to really start petering out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it already has started petering out, but it's really going out now. Didn't they
say no more Pokemon after Sun and Moon, or Ultra Sun and Moon?
Yeah, Ultra Sun and Moon was the last mainline Pokemon games for DS. That's
one of their main games anyways, so to take that from the 3DS.
And even look at, like, the new Luigi's Mansion, or even the Link to the Past remake that they're doing. Yeah. Like, that had 3DS written all over it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a Switch exclusive, which is good because it's going to look way better.
Right.
Yes.
I wonder if Animal Crossing will be on the 3DS. I know it said Switch, but...
No, I think that's just a Switch.
So pretty much, yeah.
Yep. So yeah, we've got... moving on, though, from there. We got a Destiny 2 on PC is going to be moving over to Steam in September. So instead of being launched through Activision, you're going to be picking up in the Steam launcher.
Because it was through Battle.net.
It was the Blizzard launcher.
Which, that's... Is this, like, surprising to people? Was this expected? Because I am in neither the PC gaming community or the Destiny community.
I think it's one of those things, like, people just didn't know exactly what was going to happen. Because
we actually just have the answer confirmed.
Yes, okay. Because Destiny very much could have just, like... Bungie could have done their own launcher.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have just had, like, the Destiny launcher.
Epic Game Store exclusive.
Oh, God. They could have done that too. But no, yeah, it'll be released on Steam. All of your stuff will still transfer over. You're not losing anything by transferring to Steam. Because
everything's like in the cloud, isn't it?
Yeah. You don't have to rebuy it or anything, because September is when it's going free to play. You just download it, and then, like, you've got your account.
Your Bungie account.
Yeah, your Bungie account is where everything is. That's where all your purchases and everything happen. So yeah, all of that will be fine. You just download it, like, you just now will launch it through Steam instead of through the Blizzard launcher, which I'm sure there's a lot of people that are really happy about, because I'm sure there's a lot of Destiny players that don't play anything else from Blizzard.
Yeah.
Then you have me, like, I play more games through Blizzard than I do Steam somehow. The Halo co-creator Marcus Alito, his new studio V1 Interactive, unveiled his first game. It's going to be a sci-fi FPS called Disintegration. We got a little bit of a teaser of it. Definitely has a little bit of almost a Destiny vibe to it. Like, we didn't get very much information at all about it, though. We're going to get a lot more coming at Gamescom on August 19th.
Did he have a hand in Destiny whenever Bungie? Did he leave Bungie before?
He left Bungie before that, okay. I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, we'll have more information for you then. Like, that's basically all I got right now. It's going to be a sci-fi first-person shooter. Which, surprising no one.
Right.
The Halo co-creator is going to do a sci-fi FPS. Amazon Game Studios, working on a new game. You got a Lord of the Rings MMO, which is going to be separate from the current Lord of the Rings MMO, Lord of the Rings Online.
That's still a thing.
I'm as surprised as you are. Apparently, they actually just had an update a few months ago.
Hey, what? Good for them.
Right? Because I thought this game died, like, a few months after it came out, because it was a complete WoW copy, just with Lord of the Rings characters.
Wow.
Like,
if you're gonna copy,
yeah, I guess that's the game to go.
I mean, especially
with.
Back when the game came out, like, this was like the late aughts. WoW was in its heyday. They're still advertising, you know, like 15 million concurrent players, blah 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 blah. It was like down to like how the quest like. Exclamation point over everybody's head, everything. Like, it was identical to World of Warcraft in every way, except it was Tolkien characters. Anyway, Amazon Game Studios, though, they're developing a Lord of the Rings MMO. It's going to be free to play. They're working on it with Liyue. They are the company, or like you, what, I don't know exactly how to say it.
You're in the ballpark.
They are the company that owns Warframe. They're not the ones that develop it, but they're the parent company for the developers for Warframe, which a lot of people agree is free to play done right. Warframe is still dumb popular, and yeah, like it's new users all the time. And honestly, just I played it for a while, got real into it on PC, but I didn't really have anybody to play with, so I stopped.
You tried.
I did try.
You tried to get me into it.
I tried to get so many people into it. It's just like
it didn't look like the kind of game
Stephen
I would like.
Bright would play with me occasionally, and that was really the only person I could get to play with me. But it was super fun, just really grindy, but super fun.
Super fun. I didn't know that Lord of the Rings was still relevant to make games and stuff.
Aren't they also getting an Amazon TV series?
Something like that. Yeah, Lord of the Rings.
It's Amazon or HBO or like one of those like premium streaming places is doing a.
They're doing something.
Very baffling news to me.
There's always going to be a market for Lord of the Rings anything.
Oh yeah.
Like it's that is an evergreen franchise that they will continue to try to find
ways to
make money off of.
For sure, because that's just everything, like a lot of the stuff that a lot of fantasy stuff is based on, like Tolkien versions of lore.
It is Amazon that's getting doing an the Amazon TV series, yeah. So that makes sense that they're doing a, I wonder if it's going to be related at all, but.
I could absolutely see it. Hopefully it works better than that Defiance game did, because the Defiance game was supposed to be very related. It was very related to the TV show. It was really cool, but nobody bought into it. Instead, it just had a commercial that ruined the song Radioactive by Imagine Dragons for me.
Oh, that played at GameStop
for 4 years. That might be a slight exaggeration. I say slight. It was minimum 2 years that commercial was running.
Oh, yeah. Adele's Hello still messes with me. That'll happen. They do a Tron wrong and they don't like space it out properly. Songs will get ruined. Somehow, all of Taylor Swift's 1989 still hits pretty hard.
Oh, I told
me.
You, like, that time at Red Lobster when the Muzak broke, and it was the same 6.5 songs for 3 days.
Did I ever tell you about...
Call me Mellow Yellow.
GameStop had a real similar situation. We had a problem with the update on GameStop TV. Like, it just wasn't updating.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was trying to download the massive update on our ridiculously slow internet...
Dial-up.
It was a step above dial-up. There was only one commercial in the table of acceptable commercials to play, and it was Batman Arkham Origins.
Oh.
Fortunately, this happened on the afternoon. Like, I opened and I left at 4 o'clock. This happened at 2:30 when all this went down, and I was on vacation for a week. For 4 days at GameStop. It was on loop, the Batman Arkham Origins commercial. We did not have access to volume. If we unplugged it, it would stop the download, and it would just delay the problem.
Oh, God.
So it was just Batman Arkham Origins.
You were on vacation, loving it.
hour and a half that I had to endure it was like, I look back on it as one of the worst hours and a half of my life.
Yeah, so would it like if you unplugged it, would it restart the download from the beginning?
I think it would just restart from where it left off.
Oh, see, that's when you just like we're unplugging the TV during the day and just plug it in overnight.
That would be ideal.
So you should have been working at GameStop that week.
They were just too traumatized to be able to think of it.
Because I mean, I wasn't there. Like I didn't have to come up with that idea.
Right.
But it was a very real possibility though that would have destroyed the download and it would have had to start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Because it's not something that, like,
especially then.
Because whenever something happened with those, like, whenever we had to make an adjustment on the volume on that, we actually had to call one of the hotlines for GameStop employees, get, like, put on hold and finally talk to somebody, tell them what store that we're in so that they could remote into the computer that was playing it and adjust the volume for us.
Wow.
That's how you adjust, like, because one time it was just insanely loud, and I had to call and wait half an hour before I could get this deafening noise down to an appropriate volume.
See, that's the good thing about Hastings. It was all manual within. Like, we had to use the internet server, but nothing was stopping me from putting the X-Men 90s cartoon on, which happened on more than one occasion.
Which is fair. Yeah. GameStop TV used to be... like originally they would send us at the beginning of the month a DVD or a VHS that we had to play on loop. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we'd play it, sometimes we wouldn't. And that's why they started doing this. They sent everybody computers that were mounted to the back of giant TVs and that ran it. And yeah, it was a
son of a guns.
Miserable experience in that situation. All right, guys. That's going to do it for us, though. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really, really appreciate all of you listening. Make sure you hit that Patreon, patreon.com/podzilla1985. $1 gets you access to all the pre-shows. Hit us up on Facebook. If you don't want to do any of that, that's fine. We still love you for listening. If you could, though, just mention us in passing to a friend. I like this podcast, Podzilla 1985. You should check it out.
Also, Alan gave us a 5-star review last week on iTunes because I asked him to. So, Austin Lane, your turn. And I'll know if you didn't listen.
All right, yeah, Austin Lane, hit us up. Go to iTunes. Drop that 5-star review. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us, though. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you guys for joining me here at the table. We'll see you next time.